The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. As Jesus was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a sizable crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind man, son of Timaeus, sat by the roadside begging. On hearing that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he kept calling out all the more, "Son of David, have pity on me." Jesus stopped and he said, "Call him." And so they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take courage, get up. Jesus is calling you." And he threw aside his cloak and he sprang up and he came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man replied, "Master, I want to see." And Jesus told him, "Go on your way. Your faith has saved you." And immediately he received his sight, and he followed him on the way. The Gospel of the Lord. I want to encourage you to read your scriptures, but just don't read the scriptures. Listen to the scripture. And there's a great teaching in this gospel reading which comes from the book of Mark. And this story of Bartimaeus was so important to the early churches, it appears in all three synoptic gospels. And I'll tell you where to find it. I know many of you at home write notes to me and emails. And I'll tell you where to find it if you're at home making notes or looking at your Bible. You'll find it in chapter 20 in Matthew. Interestingly, Matthew remembers two blind men. It's the same story. Then it's chapter 18 in the Gospel of Luke, and here it is in chapter 10 in Mark. Let me say a few words, background information first. In Jericho, many of the pilgrims here, you have been to Jericho. Today, Jericho is a thriving town, about 20,000 residents today. Here, the population of South Pasadena, more or less. It's in the West Bank. You read about the West Bank. It's called occupied territory. It's Palestinian territory, but controlled by the State of Israel. Way back when, some years ago, when Yasser Arafat was leading the PLO, he made his headquarters at Jericho. There's only one other place Jericho appears in the Gospels, and that's in Luke. And Jesus has an encounter with Zacchaeus, this tax collector who was reviled by the people, and he turned to become a follower of Jesus. Jericho is remarkable for many reasons. It's said to be the oldest inhabited city in the world. Archaeological records show that it was an established city 11,000 years ago, and it's been populated ever since. Secondly, it's the lowest city in the world. It's 850 feet below sea level. And Jerusalem, interestingly, is 24 feet above sea level. And it's just about 15 or 18 miles from Jericho up to Jerusalem. So it's a pretty steep climb. In 15 miles, it's more than 3,000 feet. So when you read in chapter 10 in Luke's gospel about the Good Samaritan, remember that story? It says a man was going from Jerusalem down to Jericho. And he was accosted by robbers, and the Good Samaritan helped him. All you read in the gospels about Jesus going up to Jerusalem, literally up to Jerusalem. So these are accurate details speaking about Jerusalem and Jericho. Also around Jericho, it's very humid down there in the summertime, but in the wintertime, it's a resort. It's kind of, the climate is very nice in the winter. It's warm, but not too warm. And because of the tropical climate, they grow all sorts of tropical fruits there, apricots, avocados, bananas, plums, all the tropical vegetation is all there. Recently, they're having water trouble like everybody else, but it's a remarkable place. And all our pilgrims in the journey pass through Jericho, and we pause and we remember these stories about Jericho. Now, Bartimaeus. I want to introduce you to Bartimaeus. And it may well be when I introduce you to Bartimaeus, you'll say, oh, I know this man. You met this man before. Bartimaeus is a blind beggar, and he's alone. He's shut out. He's an outsider. He doesn't qualify. He's not worthy. So they shut him out. He's on the side of the road, and he calls out, Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me. And they say, be quiet. You're interrupting us. You're a problem. You're an irritation. You don't fit. You don't qualify. There's something about you that doesn't make you one of us. And yet, when you read the life of Christ, who is it that meets Christ? Not the rich and the famous, not those who are powerful, not even those who were devoutly religious, following all the laws of the Torah. They opposed Jesus, the religious people. So who meets Jesus? The sick, the poor, the lame, the lepers, the sinners, the outcasts. Us. They're the people that meet Jesus. So what does this teach us? It teaches us that it's the outsiders, those who are shut out, who have access to the real person of Jesus. Take Bartimaeus. He's blind. And when Jesus encounters him, he doesn't call him. He says to the church, he says to the people, you go and call him to me. And interesting, when they go to him, they say, take courage, you outsider, take courage. Jesus is calling you, not the community. Jesus is calling you. And he springs up. And he drops his cloak, which is the cloak of the outsider, is the cloak of the beggar, is the cloak of those who don't belong. He drops it, and he comes to Jesus, and Jesus says, what do you want from me? And he said, Master, I want to see. What does that mean? It means I want to belong. If I could see, I'd belong. Let me see so that I can belong. And Jesus says, he restores his sight. He says, your faith has saved you. Not because of your prominence or your importance. No, no. Your faith has saved you. What does this mean? It means the blind man, the beggar, could see what the others could not see. Because when the blind man called out, Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me, that's a messianic title. He was saying, I see the Messiah out of my blindness. This is the Messiah. And all those who were sighted around him, no, he's just Jesus of Nazareth. But the beggar saw what those who were close around Jesus did not see. Now, I know the bishops these days are very concerned, and rightly so, and genuinely concerned about the Eucharist and belief in the Eucharist. Since there was some survey that came out some time ago saying that 70% of Catholics do not believe in the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. I'm not sure that's accurate. Surveys are based on the manner in which you ask the question and the manner in which the question is shaped, but nonetheless, it raises a genuine pastoral concern. But I will tell you, my friends, at ground level, I have met people who are shut out of the church, saying you're not worthy, who have more faith in the Eucharist than the rest of us who seem to fit in. I have felt the more hunger for the Eucharist than many of us who are so familiar. It may well be that I've been saying Mass every day for 57 years, and when I'm so familiar and so close to the Eucharist, I can underestimate the power of the Eucharist, whereas the outsider yearns and hungers for the Eucharist, can see what we might miss. That's the teaching here. I thought about that. What does this mean in real flesh and blood? In the recent past, I had a funeral here for an extraordinary woman, young in years, I would say, who was a parishioner here for many years and a wonderful witness to discipleship in Jesus Christ. And she was well known in the parish, came from a wonderful family. We filled the church, a testimony to her and to her family. And when I was in the vestibule greeting the people after the funeral, some of the family came up to me and said, I want you to meet our son. He's gay. And this is his husband. Two young men. Would you give them a blessing? I said, I would love to give them a blessing. Right now. Come into the church. And they came in and they knelt at that side altar, and 10 or 12 members of the family surrounded them. And we laid hands on them in prayer. And all the family laid hands on them. And when the family prayed, the church prayed. And I spoke the words that said, when you were born, you were precious. You were a gift from God when you were born. Your family welcomed you and celebrated God's presence in you. And now that you are grown, you are no less a gift. You are no less precious. You are no less loved by your family. And no less loved in the church. I bless their courage to belong to a church that sometimes struggles with them. When they were baptized into Jesus Christ to be followers of the Lord. And we celebrated their baptism here. We celebrated their baptism. And now, are they less the children of God today than they were when we baptized? They are still the children of God. And I will go to my grave believing deep in my soul that in the household of the Lord, there are no strangers. There is a place for everybody in the house of the Lord. And in preparing for this homily, writing my journals, my mind wandered a little bit, speaking about Bartimaeus. And I thought to myself, when I come to the end of my life, and I'm preparing to die, I hope I'll be surrounded by a small community, and perhaps the priest will give me the last rites and anoint me, and the community will usher me toward Jesus Christ, Son of David, and I will say, like Bartimaeus, I will say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And I will hear a voice, well, what do you want of me? And I'd say, I want to see. I want to see your infinite love. I want to see the abundance of your forgiveness. I want to see the welcome which is generous and embracing. I want to see. And the Lord will show me. And when I see, I will follow Jesus Christ up to the new Jerusalem. Amen.